You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Good evening, one and all. As you might surmise by now, I am not James Edwards. I am Winston Smith, and it's my honor and privilege to once again be at the helm of the CSS cesspool. And I'm going to be joined by our producer, Sam Bushman, who is himself a strong voice for our causes. Hi, Sam.
Thanks for having me, brother. Godspeed. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing very well. But it's really good to be back. I was surprised that James called me or texted me and asked me to take the show this week. But there's a good reason for that. And y'all might be asking, well, where is James Edwards? I'm going to tell you where he is. 13 years ago, James and his wife, Danny, were married, and they are celebrating this evening. And I say, God bless them. I was at that wedding, and it was held at his parents' house in the backyard. And it was a beautiful affair. It really was. One of the best weddings I've been to. I've been to many, many weddings, often as a musician, some as a groomsman, some as just a witness. But of all the weddings that I've been to, James and Danny's wedding was truly wonderful. I enjoyed every minute of it. The backyard was beautiful. The weather was fine. Blue sky with just a few clouds. Nice breeze. But what stands out mostly about the scenery was this huge, ancient pine tree in that backyard. I don't know how big around the thing was, but it was incredibly large. And it was inspiring. The thing had a presence of its own. But that aside, I'd like to take just a minute and wish James and Danny a happy 13th anniversary. I know all of y'all would like to as well. So, James, I know you're going to listen to this a little later. Happy anniversary to you. Thank you for all you do for us. You're a rare man, and we are honored and pleased to have you on our side.
Amen to that.
Without you.
And just to add to that, Winston, the oak tree is a symbolism of what a synergistic, God-ordained marriage can produce. Generationally, morally, a real man, a real woman, standing together with complementary traits for our God, for our families, for our country, for our people, for dignity, for honor, for integrity. And that's what James, in 13-plus years, is building. My 27th wedding anniversary is coming up in a few days, sir.
Well, happy anniversary to you. Early, but still, I'm glad for you. It's a big deal these days for marriages to last so long, and it's an especially big deal for white marriages to last so long. It's a divorce and family breakdown is a plague upon our nation. And we see what it's done to other demographics, and it is certainly wreaking its havoc in our community, among our people, and we need to stop it. You know, young people need to be taught that when you get married, it's not an experiment. It's a commitment. And James and Danny have exemplified that. I can tell you this, James for a while was the target of some attacks by the SPLC. They would have people with female names emailing him, trying to get information, and then they would start trying to entice him into a little hanky-panky, and he disregarded it every time. James is a gentleman. He helped them out as much as he could, and when he realized it was the SPLC, you know, he cut off communication with them. But still... Look, James, Danny, happy anniversary. Here's to many, many more. And thanks for asking me to do the show tonight. I hope you enjoy your evening. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Okay. Get my mouse working here. We're going to be covering, in the first hour, we're going to be covering some news items of varying degrees of importance. In the second hour, we're going to be inviting a few guests to participate in the show. I had initially wanted to get some older teenagers to call in, or for Sam to call them. I wanted to get the perceptions of the precarious position of our race through their eyes. And I think a lot of them were a little scared or concerned about it, or parents put the kibosh on it.
Yeah, they got some stage fright, don't they?
What was that, Sam?
Stage fright.
Oh, I suppose so, but you know, it's just me. It's just you. We're likable guys, aren't we?
Absolutely, we're as kind as they get.
I believe you're right. But we got some other folks a little older, but still much younger than me, and I'm 57, by the way. So they're going to be joining us in the second hour, and in the third hour, it's a real treat for me to welcome one of the finest gentlemen I've ever known. His name is Reverend Brett McAtee. He's a pastor in Michigan, and he and I are going to just have a discussion on the state of the white race and what we can do to bring us back from the precipice if we can. But for now, in the first hour, it's going to be Sam Bushman and Winston Smith, two grumpy guys setting the world to rights.
And by the way, the goal is not just to endure or to see our, our country, our people preserved, but to thrive. And that's kind of one of the focuses that I think we need to think about going on the offensive, to say, hey, we don't want to just survive it. We want to prosper and thrive within it as well, Winston.
Couldn't agree with you more, Sam. We have every right to prosper. And indeed, the world has prospered because we have prospered. We have been a blessing upon this earth, and I'm not ashamed to say that. The inventions, the technologies, the philosophies, the literature, we have given so much to this world, and yet we are the most demonized. And you're right, the more we are demonized, the more we are vilified, the worse things get, not just for us, but for everyone around us. I don't know why the other demographics are just not seeing that. Maybe they're happy in squalor. They're happy in ignorance. They're happy in, a Hobbesian state of nature in which life is mean, nasty, solitary, brutish, and short.
The good news in this, you mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center and the dishonesty in the moral battle they've had with James Edwards, and how James has remained resolute, strong, and honorable. The Southern Poverty Law Center has had a meltdown of late, where they've literally had their top brass resign for racism, sexism, and everything hate-filled that they claim everybody else is. So the bottom line is James comes out smelling like a rose. The thugs at the Southern Poverty Law Center lose their jobs, lose their careers, and literally the whole organization has been flat-out discredited to this point. And the mainstream press trying to kind of ignore this and cover it up, not make it a big deal. But you know what? The truth is coming out, and people know the truth. Winston?
Excellent, Sam. Folks, we're going to our first break. Stay with us. We'll be right back with the Political Cesspool with Winston Smith and Sam Bushman.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, 4 grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved 4 checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text FIGHT to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. DefendAPatriot.com.
call is being transferred to the listening ear. Listening professionals dedicated to hearing you.
Hello, listening ear. Who am I listening to?
Carrie, but I was calling my mom.
Yes, you were, but your mom was so busy she felt it was important for you to have someone who could completely focus on listening to you and you alone. So she subscribed to our service. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Well, I'm not quite sure.
Where to start? Well, I can listen to school issues like science projects. I can listen to boy problems, although that's an extra $3 per call because of the emotional drain on me. How about we start with how you wish you had made cheerleader?
I didn't try out for cheerleader.
This isn't Mary?
Carrie. I'm Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
There is no substitute for a loving parent. And when you really listen, love is what they'll hear. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
I hope you'll give me a moment. When I was introducing the show, I forgot to make mention of one of the most important people in the show tonight, probably the most important person. That is my transcriptionist. The ever gracious Stephanie, who makes it possible for me to be on the show. She types as fast as we can talk. It's an incredible.
Not as fast as I can talk, buddy.
Screen. And Stephanie, I'm sorry I left you out. Try not to let it happen again. So I hope you forgive me. And she says, cut it out.
Actually, the truth is, as far as I understand, transcriptionists are supposed to be the rock stars behind the scenes that usually don't get the credit they deserve. They're supposed to be transparent, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Stephanie contacted me about doing this for me, so I'm as grateful to her as I can be. It's an amazing bit of technology that she and her husband have there. He's an attorney, and I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it. Lest they get into trouble.
It's also interesting. You know, they call James sometimes a Nazi, a white supremacist, a hater. But, you know, the Nazis wouldn't let deaf people like you, Winston, exist. And they wouldn't let, I don't know if everybody knows, I'm a totally blind person producing this show as guest now. I've built my own radio network and syndicate shows and do my own show, etc. They wouldn't let deaf people and blind people even exist, would they there, Winston? So much for the Nazi idea, huh?
Indeed. I muse over that occasionally. That's whenever you and I do a show together, it's kind of an amazing thing. It truly is. And yet, you know, we make it happen. And that's what happens when you're committed. You find a way.
Well, I'd rather have the deaf leading the blind than the blind leading the deaf. I'll tell you that right now. At least we won't both go over the cliff.
Yeah, complimentary strengths. How about that? All right, folks. Lots to discuss tonight in the first hour. And here's one that kind of made me chuckle. We're going to do a lot of chuckling and, well, not a lot, but we're going to do some chuckling and some being angry tonight. And there's a reason for that. But here's the headline. Woke and broke. Gillette sees sales slump after its sexist and lecturing hashtag MeToo razor ad. You remember this ad that Gillette came up with several weeks ago in which they basically just trashed men and attacked what they called toxic masculinity. You remember that ad?
Yes, I do. In fact, what I find fascinating about this is if you want to talk about biting the hand that feeds you, this is beyond the pale. Literally, let's make our whole business about men, about shaving. Now, I agree that women shave their legs and things, but there was a manly promotion and a manly let's, you know, shave and et cetera. They literally bit the hand that fed them. Are we surprised when it all goes south from there? I mean, American men are sick of it. There's nothing wrong with me being a manly man. There's nothing wrong with me being an alpha male, intentionally direct and bold and confident and hardworking and dedicated. And there's a soft spot for the women in our lives. There's nothing wrong with those things. And they literally doubled down and flat out attacked those from which they get fed. I mean, it's the most stupid asinine thing you could ever possibly imagine. And then they wonder how it ran off the rails. Hello, operator.
You got that exactly right. The article continues. The company decided the best way to promote their product was to attack their customer base. The new ad also highlights sexist and bullying white males in the United States. In the ad, there are 43 abusive males, 42 are white. In the ad, there are 8 hero men, and 7 of them are black. And the ad is not doing so well with many users promising to avoid the product. The ad had 642,000 downvotes after its first 2 days on YouTube. I'm sure it's considerably higher than that now. But it gets worse. When you open the U.S. Gillette website, you get a pop-up lecturing ad on abusive male culture. But when you open the Gillette website for any other market, including Saudi Arabia, where men are taught to discipline their women, you won't see any of the anti-male ads. It's only U.S. men that they have a problem with. Now, this, the Gillette ad ran in January, and this week Procter & Gamble announced a slump in sales of their grooming products via MarketWatch. And here's what they said. Sales of grooming products, including Gillette, slipped 1%, continuing a long slide of decline. Margins disappointed. The upside earnings surprise came from non-operating items like tax rate change. Grooming products are 9% of Procter & Gamble's revenue. Now, folks, they have slashed their prices. You don't slash your prices for a 1% drop in sales. You slash your prices when you are hemorrhaging money. And that's what I suspect has happened with Gillette, and they deserve every bit of it. That ad, you know, I had to read a transcript of it while I watched it, but I thought my head was going to explode. Just thinking about it now makes my head throb, and I don't understand, as Sam so rightly said, why they would attack at least one half of their customer base. Sam mentioned women use their products as well. Well, men use probably half their products, and I will never ever buy a Gillette product again.
But you know what, Winston? There's a lot of good women who don't have a problem with manly men, who don't have a problem with men who say, look, I'm the leader of my family. I'm the spiritual leader. I'm the financial breadwinner. I love my wife. She has equal talents to me. I'm not here to degrade the women in any way, but I'm a man and I take care of my family. And that's what, you know what? Women like that, I believe. That doesn't mean we should double down and be mean to them or unkind in any way. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about godly men leading their families. I believe that the other half you're talking about, the women, a significant, and it's probably the silent majority, but a significant majority of them agree with us. I mean, Gillette literally made a huge mistake there too. They underestimated. Most women agree with us. Now, they might not vocally speak out about it because they know they'll be barbecued and burned at the stake, figuratively speaking. But the fact is, hey, these women understand the truth. All women want a man that can take care of them, a man that'll protect them and look out for them, a man that will give his life for them. They want that kind of man. Who wouldn't? That's designed by God to be that way.
And yet that kind of thing is referred to as toxic masculinity. You know, when a woman is being raped, does she want a National Public Radio kind of guy coming to her rescue to try to talk the guy out of it, or they want a congressman who's going to come and promise her to pass a law through that.
Well, the congressman will probably basically participate. If we know what's going on in Congress, there's nothing but sexual promiscuity and perversion and allegations in Congress and in the military and places like that where there's too much power and authority granted. So, you know, I'm not sure the congressman will even talk about passing a law until he's committed the crimes.
Well, when grits hit the pan, women want a strong man. They want a man who can take care of them. You know, I saw something a while back, and it said, a safe man is not a good man. A good man is a dangerous man who keeps his dangerous side in check. I kind of like that. All right.
Well, it's kind of like this. A gun in the hands of a criminal is a bad thing. A gun in the hands of a good guy is always a good thing. So it all depends on how you use your capabilities and what they're used for.
Indeed. You got it right, Sam, I think. I agree with you. Speaking of guns, in the past several days, we've had some violence. We saw one attempted act of violence. And we'll talk about it as soon as we come back from the break, folks. Stay with us.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Investigators say they're reviewing the flight data recorder from a jet that ran off a runway and into a shallow part of the St. Johns River in Florida. Mark Russo is fire chief at the Naval Air Station in Jacksonville.
We had over 50 firefighters on scene within 15, 20 minutes. The crews all were able to, our crews went in the water immediately to the wing edge and started escorting people that were on the wing edge to the shore.
The military charter landed hard in the thunderstorm, carrying 143 people from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. No serious injuries were reported. Do you have Tyson chicken strips in your freezer? Tyson is recalling nearly 12 million pounds of frozen chicken strips because some of the shipments may have small pieces of metal. The affected product was produced between October 1st and March 8th of this year. This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allen Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenix physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenix, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenix program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenix. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenix.com.
Officials in Waukegan, Illinois say it appears three people were killed in an explosion at a silicone factory. Crews are still searching for two of the victims, but it's slow going because the structure is unstable. WBBM reporter Mike Krauser talked with a nearby business owner who heard the blast from miles away.
When he realized it was next door to his family's business, he came to the scene.
It blew out all of the windows on the west side of the building, blew out three dock doors on there, just completely pushed them into the building on there. Our back wall is metal compared to the rest of the concrete building, and that metal wall is buckled on there.
This happened at about 9:45 last night. The siding from the roughly four-story tall building was blown off.
There's no word yet on what exploded. The 23-year-old truck driver who was accused of speeding and causing a fiery Colorado highway crash last week has been charged with four counts of vehicular homicide. You're listening to USA Radio News.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Chess Pool. He's Sam Bushman. I'm Winston Smith. And we're going over some news items. The second hour, we welcome some folks to talk with me. And in the third hour, we're going to welcome Reverend Brett McAtee. So as I was saying before we went to the break, we had some planned act of violence and an actual act of violence. Or maybe I should say, you know, some people did something. Would that be all right? That'd be all right, wouldn't it, if I said some people or someone did something? After all, I'm the wrong race, so I probably couldn't get away with it like that woman did. Anyhow,
that only works one way, my brother.
Which a guy was arrested for planning and making bombs to plan at a white nationalist rally in the Los Angeles area. Two things interested me about this. First, why did the police stop him? I mean, time and time again, we've seen white protesters set upon by thugs of the Democratic National Committee's militant wing, which is Antifa, and the police pretty much just stood down. The police let the Antifa beat white protesters to a pulp. Now, what was different about this one? Why did they stop this guy from killing white people? I don't understand. The other thing...
Before you go on, Winston, my only opinion on this is oftentimes... They know if it's a blatant murder, rampage by belligerents every time, then the signature becomes too concrete, too provable, too consistent, too documentable. And one of these times they're going to get sued and they're going to lose. And they're going to end up with a credibility crisis like the Southern Poverty Law Center. All right. So what they do oftentimes is they create these false flags. Some of them literally deliver the pain, the murder, the abuse to make sure you never forget it. But then they have a lot of these false flag operations where they don't let it go all the way through. But the same message gets hammered home and the signature changes. Oh, this one got stopped. That means the good guys are on the beat taking care of you, Winston. Thank heavens they stopped this. By golly, this could have went so bad. But see, the message is the same. White people, sit down, shut up. Go away. You know what? Rise to the black. Rise to the illegal. Rise to the... And they want to hammer this point home. And the more they can, quote, change the signature, but yet hammer the same message day in and day out, that's what they're after. And so I'm convinced that it makes sense, even though they act like it was stopped. Oh, man, cops are wonderful. They would never do anything wrong. It just hides their signature false flags when they do that, because then people think, oh, wait a minute, it can't be a conspiracy, it can't be a planned action, it can't be intentional, but yet it indeed can and is and does. And Charlottesville virtually proved it. The president of the United States said, look, we condemn all violence. There were good guys and bad guys on all sides. We need to come together as Americans to stand to solve this and to stop this. And he literally got attacked. Attacked for what? For not doubling down with the agenda. And the media knows it. The cops know it. Society sadly knows it. And those in the majority don't have the guts to stand up like you and I do, Winston. But most of them know the truth, too. It's kind of like the Gillette reality. They know full well, but how many dare speak up? It's kind of like in a war. Do you put your head up? Don't you dare. You get it shot off. Well, this is what's going on. And so I'm convinced they changed the signature intentionally. And they love to create false flags that they stop. Because then they get the bang of the false flag. They also get the bang and the credit for stopping it. And they supposedly win on all sides. Those of us who are savvy see it for what it is.
I could not be happier that you are on the show with me tonight. I love reading what you're saying. It's incredible. It's wonderful. Thank you for agreeing to partner with me tonight.
I'm sorry for Stephanie if I talk too fast. I get excited about the sacred cause of liberty to which we're engaged. And so I just kind of go off. And the more excited I get, the faster I talk.
I'll tell you this. She does miss some things, but, you know, I can get the gist of it.
But in sports, I wouldn't get behind.
All right. The other thing that interested me about this incident was that much of the reporting mentioned the perp's status as a U.S. military veteran. in every article that I saw, I narrowed it down to three that I wanted to keep an eye on, and I'll tell you why I wanted to keep an eye on them in a minute. But they made heavy, heavy mention of him being a U.S. combat veteran. For days, I watched and monitored three different stories, and in each of them, the guy's conversion to Islam wasn't mentioned until deep within the stories, usually around the seventh paragraph. And that could just be because all of these news outlets, they all feed off of two or three major ones, and they just repeat the story. They might change a little bit in it, but by and large, they're following a script from a more notable outlet. But it took it. They would not mention any connection to Islam until deep in the story, and that fact was even noted in some of the comments sections.
And by the way, Winston, this is intentional on their part. I don't know if you know, but there's the art of news article writing, which is intentionally done. And I learned about this 25 plus years ago from a man named Chuck Harder, who used to do a show called For the People. He's now passed away. But he taught us about the Velvet Hammer and how they treat media personnel. They treat you like a rock star as long as you carry and parrot the line. You don't, they'll drop the Velvet Hammer and you lose your job, you lose your career, you lose your integrity, you lose your character, you lose everything if they don't like what you have to say. Well, anyway, the reason that I'm telling you this is because they are taught to write stories upside down. What they want to do is admit the Muslim fact so that if you ever call them on the carpet about it, they can laugh at you and go, no, we covered that fact. But they write stories upside down. I don't mean the physical writing is upside down. What I mean is the facts of the story, the things that matter most, are at the end of the story. So a wise person learns to read the last two paragraphs of the story before they read the beginning of the story. And when you learn to do that, you understand that that's the art of their writing. They do it on purpose. So what they can do is they can let a story hit the wire, let the headline of deceit carry the day, let the first few paragraphs, oftentimes stories are written with cutout points. And what I mean by that is if you don't have enough room, you can cut out the last part of the article. They love that. That's why all the facts and the details are at the end of the article, where it 9 times out of 10 gets cut out. Then they can claim we covered it, we carried it, we documented it. And they did. But they did it in a way that they knew it wouldn't get the cover and you wouldn't get the wings of real wall-to-wall coverage that the other stories get. It's intentional. And so I would encourage people, if you want to be news savvy, learn to read a story upside down. Read the last two or three paragraphs first. Get the facts. Now go read the story and see how dishonest they are. Winston?
Well, if I prepped for this evening's broadcast, I went back to those articles, and they've all been edited to include his Muslim connection closer to the beginning, and some of them even developed a spine to put it in the headlines.
But then I would say some savvy person called them on the carpet over it, and this is their way to try to, again, change the narrative to where you can't catch them every time. Now they can point to these articles and say, we don't do that all the time, but they tried. They do, and oftentimes this happens. I've literally trapped and forced the New York Times and the Washington Post. I've had big news organizations that have been forced to retract and change their stories because I give them hardcore pushback, and that happens sometimes, and that's good news, right?
It is good news, but in this case, it took them a long, long time to do it, and I agree with you that they probably felt the pushback. As I said, a lot of the comments in the comment section pointed that out. They were just appalled that it took so much space before they even mentioned the guy's Muslim connection. Now, the act of violence that we witnessed, a guy walks into a synagogue and starts shooting. Bad stuff, really. One person dead, a few others wounded. Apparently the gun malfunctioned, so he dropped it and ran away but was caught. At first, I just kind of mused that this happened because the dead Christians in Sri Lanka were getting too much attention. So this shooting was the answer, false flag, if you will. Of course, I was being facetious, but then I started seeing news items about the kid who did the shooting. And several people and his friends and family, they noted that his views, which as naturally as the sun rising in the east, were deemed racist, anti-Semitic, white nationalist, white supremacist, etc. They seemed to, quote, come from nowhere, unquote. He had never exhibited any of those leanings, certainly not the impulse of violence. But still, people are saying this came from out of nowhere. And And it makes me wonder, Sam.
Well, you're going to find when you study these cases, 9 times out of 10, there's psychotropic drugs involved. 9 times out of 10, there's a psychologist or psychiatrists or the like in the medical profession involved as counselors or whatever you want to say. 9 times out of 10, you'll find out there's a military presence, an FBI, a CIA, a military, some link to these, I would say, patsies. I would say these duped pawns in the game they're playing, the evil satanic game they're playing. And you could say, Sam, that's conspiracy theory. And my response is, go study it and let's talk about it. Because is there conspiracy facts? Yes, there are.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Co-Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back to tonight's broadcast of the Political Cesspool. I'm Winston Smith, and joining me tonight is the powerful and talkative Sam Bushman. I am so glad he's here with me because it makes my life so much easier. You can tell that Sam has thought a lot about these issues, and he knows whereof he speaks, and I'm glad you're here, Sam.
Well, thank you, sir. You know, it's an opportunity, in my opinion, to set the record straight on some of these things, and I know a lot of people feel these realities in their gut. They just don't know how to articulate them, and they're afraid without some of the evidence and without some of the documentation to articulate them. Because, again, it's like putting your head up in a war. Good luck. They're going to eat you alive if you don't have the details and the facts. And it takes study. It takes effort. It takes prayer to be bold enough to stand up on these issues. And I think we need to realize that, hey, every time you see one of these gun nut crazies go ballistic, you'll find none of them have had a life with honorable parents. None of them have had a life with God and family and country in their lives. Every one of them ends up on some psychotropic drugs, and they're seen by psychologists and psychiatrists. They've got some tie to the CIA, the FBI, the military, something. Every time you turn around, you see that over and over and over. And you say, there's got to be a pattern. And then you start to back into, wait a minute, is this conspiracy theory? Or is this an intentional manipulation of some kind? There's a pattern here. And you can't ignore the pattern when you see it over and over and over and over. And then, believe it or not, to break the pattern, there was a gentleman. He was a very Christian. He was actually a Mormon, a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He got on psychotropic drugs, and he went into his school and almost killed everybody. And believe it or not, they stopped him. And later, he testified before Congress and testified before a Food and Drug Administration committee. And he basically said, I don't know what happened, but I took these drugs. I had all these suicidal thoughts. I somehow was sleepwalking kind of a thing in a drug stupefied state where I didn't know what I was doing. I did go in and do all this, so I'm told. I don't remember it. These drugs are evil, and everybody needs to quit taking them. This guy literally doubled down and had that experience to make the point, illustrating that these drugs oftentimes cause this. And when you have that, plus the power of suggestion, you know, what starts to happen? You can't ignore these patterns in these shootings is the point, Winston.
Well said. Well said, Sam. All right, next on the list here, Joe Biden. Joe Biden, everybody's favorite subject. You know, good old Joe, the guy who enjoys sniffing hair and grabbing onto women who are not his wife, and even grabbing on to very young girls. You know, he's in the race now, and I think he should choose Robert Francis O'Rourke as his running mate. So
Uncle Perv himself.
Yeah, we can put out bumper stickers that say Pato and Beto. That would sell.
Yes, it would, sir.
Groping Joe Biden has entered the 2020 presidential race with a strong emphasis on race, but he started it in a curious way. His entry video begins thusly. Charlottesville, Virginia is home to the author of one of the great documents in human history, the former vice president said in a 3.5-minute video he posted the Thursday morning. The reference was to Thomas Jefferson, who authored the Declaration of Independence. That's from an article that I picked up. And I guess Groping Joe doesn't know that there's Groping Joe doesn't know. Now there's a anti-campaign slogan. Groping Joe doesn't know. Groping Joe doesn't know. There's another bumper sticker. We're gonna get rich, Sam. Pay to and Beto.
We can do t-shirts. We can do t-shirts too.
Excellent.
And we could have a hat instead of a MAGA Make America Great Again hat. It'd be a perv hat. It'd be a little bit like the hats the women are wearing these days. But different.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? Slightly different, you know?
I know what you're talking about.
All right. The interesting thing about this Joe Biden whacked out story is he started out his campaign by literally doubling down and attacking Donald Trump for his comments over Charlottesville. And what's interesting about this is he's really trying to start out by basically claiming that Donald Trump is a white supremacist. He's a racist. He's a hater. He's a Nazi. But you know what? I'm telling you right now, they're building a bridge too far on this racial claim that they think will literally silence everybody in the context. More and more Americans are realizing that's a bogus claim. And so I'm telling you that I'm convinced they're pushing too hard on this one. It's going to backfire against Creepy Joe.
Well, Groping Joe might have a problem with it, with his entry into the presidential race. People, they're not thinking. Now, he said that Charlottesville, Virginia, is home to the author of one of the great documents in history. talking about Thomas Jefferson. But Groping Joe apparently doesn't know that the left is mad as hell at Thomas Jefferson. On April 13th of last year, the Washington Post reported this. The words racist plus rapist were painted on a statue of Thomas Jefferson at the University of Virginia on Friday, the day the school commemorates its founder each year. This year marks the 275th anniversary of his birth. Jefferson has become a fraught symbol as the university delves more deeply in his own complicated history and as broader cultural battles play out nationally and locally over monuments and race. Jefferson, the author of the Declaration of Independence, third U.S. president, and founder of the public university, is believed to have had children with a woman who was enslaved on his plantation. In August, students and community members circled a statue of Jefferson to protect it as white supremacists carrying torches surrounded them in the beginning of a weekend of violent clashes in Charlottesville. Well, there was a tweet from a group called Solidarity Seaville, which I guess stands for Solidarity Charlottesville. It said this: last night, racist plus rapist was spray painted on a statue of Thomas Jefferson in Charlottesville in anticipation of Founders Day, when Charlottesville celebrates this white supremacist birthday. And another tweet said this: they say vandalized. I say the record has been corrected by a zealous historian. A student group at UVA is demanding the statue of Thomas Jefferson on campus be removed because his visage allegedly serves as, quote, an emblem of white supremacy. So there you have it. Groping Joe has embraced the legacy of a man who the left says is a notorious racist, white supremacist, and rapist.
Well, when you have no allegiance and no honor, it's kind of like being in the middle of the road and getting hit by traffic going both directions, Winston.
Yeah, it is. Groping Joe's entry video continues. It says, Charlottesville is also home to a defining moment for this nation in the last few years, he said. It was there in August 2017 that we saw Klansmen and white supremacists and neo-Nazis come out into the open. So there's his campaign open. That's how he opens it, by dividing people, by lumping decent Americans who are concerned about the removal of a statue and lumping them together with what society now claims are the dregs, the worst of the worst, racist and Klansmen and neo-Nazis. You know, I saw not a single Klansmen robe out there. I don't know where they're getting that there were Klansmen there. Maybe they just went around and said, are you a Klansman? Are you a Klansman? Okay. But again, Biden has seized upon President Trump's remarks that there were fine people on both sides. And he's probably right. I doubt that there were very few fine people on the opposing side. There were a lot of fine people on the leave the statue alone side.
But it is a polite way by Donald Trump to give credit for good, honest, polite people and nonviolent people, no matter your beliefs, and a way to divide or separate over violence versus nonviolent. And I think it was a classy way for the president to do so.
He was trying to elevate the good people who were in the crowd on both sides, but the media wanted to focus on the bad actors. And the bad actors, according to the media, were the white nationalists and the people there to support the statue of Robert E. Lee. Those were the bad people. And, you know, I would like to ask, you know, Joe Biden, he said that, he said Robert E. Lee was, he mentioned Robert E. Lee being a slaveholder and that the people who were supporting the statue remaining, because they want the statue to stay, that they are racist. And I want to ask Groping Joe, can anyone admire the legacy of Robert E. Lee, who by all accounts of the day was one of the most sterling, decent, moral Christian men who ever blessed the earth with the print of his boot? Can anyone admire that man and still be a Christian and still be a decent person?
It's an honest question, and believe it or not, people on both sides of the war back before revisionist history took over agreed with that point.
Yeah, and even Stonewall Jackson, people in the North, yeah, he had his haters. One general referred to him as that blue-eyed killer. But people recognized him as a good Christian man, as a brilliant strategist, and same for Robert E. Lee. Is it possible to admire these people without being a racist?
In their world, absolutely not, unless they do it. Remember, there's a double standard between he and thee, and that's the way the elite play, sir.
All right, folks, that's the first hour of the Political Cesspool for this evening. Stay tuned for the second hour. We're going to talk to some interesting people.
Another hour of the Political Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.